Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Brooke Griffith, Angela DeFrancis, Rebecca, Emrys, Steph, Emery L, Leia Addison, Brianna Cravero, Rim Saud, Taryn Winnie, James Cunningham, Kaya Lewis Marlowe, Bex, James Ferber, Sammy Yuhas, Creatrix Anime, Hannah Francis, Anna Sparlin, Vasya Hilliard. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Rustyquill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Salahur and Altahan.
And Azu.
We are in an underwater place, about to kill a gothic dude.
No, about to capture.
Oh, capture, sorry. Dude. Capture a gothic dude.
I agree
dude.
To kill a gothic dude. I don't know about you guys.
And as it stands, the party is still currently split. We have Hamid chilling out in what's definitely not a large, ominous space filled with boss. And the rest of them are opening a golden door that potentially leads to a large, ominous room filled with boss. With that, I will start with Hamid. So, Hamid, you were sneaking your way around to the back of the room.
Yeah.
As it's a circular
approximately
room.
120 degrees around the circular room.
So you gave me a stealth check?
30.
Can you give me another stealth check, please?
24.
Okay, great. So you make it to the far end of the walkway over the study portion of the day, and you are able to give me a perception check. That's what you're able to do. Give me a perception check, and then we'll see what you're able to do.
21.
Additional things that you discern from your new angle, there are a pair of large, bulk-heady-looking doors leading into the room, one on either side of the kitchen thing, so they were equidistant from where you were stood when you entered the room, but on the ground floor of the room. Additional things that you notice. With a 21...
Can I get any more detail about the gloomy figure, especially now
the
side where I'm getting him lighted? Which is part of the reason I came over this way.
So the gloomy figure appears to be male. They do literally have steepled hands with their sort of head upon them. They appear to be wearing a blank white mask.
Wow.
A full face mask, though, not a hack half mask.
Are they alive? Is the actual person somewhere else?
Additional things that you notice are that there appears to be a number of cables running from the back of the chair that they are sat in to the pipe organ.
Does the person look alive? Can I see any sign of life?
They are not moving.
Not even
from a distance of 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 34, 50 feet-ish.
Yeah.
You can't really tell.
Shoot me a crossbow.
They're not moving. They have not moved since you entered the room.
I mean, this could just be another one of the dead bodies. I mean, I admit it's unlikely, but...
This concludes the things that you can see.
How far is the drop to the floor?
About 25 feet.
I would like to quietly cast Fly.
It is worth mentioning, actually, before you do, that there is a ladder at the point that you're at that leads down, and a ladder at the point at the other end. I knew I'd forgotten something. I currently gave you a walkway with no way to get up or down, which is nonsense.
Then I'm going to attempt to climb down the ladder quietly.
That's fine. Can you give me another stealth check, please? Because ladders are tricky.
24 again.
That's fine. There seems to be no reaction.
I am going to draw... from my bag of holding, the potion of greater invisibility.
Ooh, good choice.
I am then going to move slowly around the edge of the big glowing liquid-filled chamber.
Taken the potion?
No, it's in my hand.
Okay, okay.
So that I get to within about 20 feet so I can see the figure better, but I'm behind them.
I require another stealth check, please.
Good luck.
23.
You are being so stealthy.
I've got a plus 15. I'm not even rolling that well.
I think you manage it.
Okay, can I see any better from here? I'm a lot closer now. I'm like a third of the distance I was before.
Give me another perception check. The light quality here is terrible.
Yeah.
You are actively having to look because there's no proper lighting.
Yeah,
it's
and I need to be careful that I'm not casting a shadow into this person's vision. Oh, that's not great. 17.
You just don't know. You just don't know.
Crossbow bolt.
There is a hum, actually, of power coming from the cables ahead of you, which run from the seat to the organ, and you are able to discern a few more things about the organ, if you like.
Oh, yeah. I look in all directions simultaneously by the Pathfinder rules.
I'm made of eyes.
It's just all characters are beholders. There's the halfling beholders. There's orc beholders.
Eye hailer.
So using your eye stalks... canonically. everyone has eye stalks, we just don't talk about it.
It's just normal.
That's the thing, why would you mention it?
Yeah.
Everyone has
all
know,
sentient
like,
species.
A body, but we don't go on about it. So, what you see about the pipe organ is, it's sort of a pipe organ. You're not an expert, but it looks like it's a pipe organ that's potentially designed to maybe make potions instead of music. Like, there is a keyboard of sorts, but it's
is
mostly...
Is each key an alchemical symbol? Because those exist.
And Hamid would recognise them. Yeah, it is.
I mean, he wouldn't understand them, but he would recognise them.
Yes. The keyboard is... Yeah, basically all of the keys are labelled with alchemical symbols, and you see that all of the piping is mostly filled with different types of fluid, powder, or sort of basically that. I would say, though, that
they will be able to see.
It has clearly been deliberately built to look like a pipe organ. It just probably isn't one.
How much money is he spent on this?
We're in an underwater base.
Yeah.
He's got underwater base money, you know.
Doesn't have moon base money. It is a recession.
A moon base in this economy? Oh, I'm so tense. So
in fact, technically, not only does he have an underwater base, he has an underwater volcano base.
Yeah, he is on a vault. Tension.
wondering. Make a decision.
The base was going to need to drop.
I'm going to sneak up to right behind him.
Ooh! You're right. Give me another stealth check.
The potion of greater invisibility is on my lips. I'm like holding it to my mouth.
You're taking additional penalties as you go.
Well, that's a good roll.
32. Oh, yes, away with it! Hey, you are now immediately behind the chair of the figure. I do not require a perception check. You are within 5 feet.
I stroke his cheek. Stealth check.
If at this point I was Sasha, what I would just do is reach and take away any weapons he was holding.
Yeah, slight hand.
I'm not Sasha.
But she would be proud.
Yeah.
Up close, you can see.
You hear in whatever plane that she's in now, there's a rippling in the force.
First things that you can see. I am even going to let you go so far as peering around the side of the chair as part of the stealth check you've already done, okay?
Cloak of Elvenkind, baby.
Peering around. And you can disguise yourself as a boulder if
apparently. Yeah.
I was never a boulder in my living room before.
So, things that you discern without a perception check are, leaning around, first, there is an enormous cable plugged in at the base of the neck from the chair, running into the chair from the back of the person. Number two, you can see that they are wearing clerical robes, like the robes of a cleric, like healing cleric. Okay? White mask appears extremely cheap. like party mask. Like the lighting and the atmosphere was doing a lot. It's not so much an ivory visage as a paper mask. And the steepled hands you see are wizened, bordering on mummified. And I would even say that you can discern from here that their fingers appear to have potentially maybe been glued together in position, as has their elbows, and they are just fixed in position. If they're not dead, they should be. But as far as you can tell, they are a corpse.
We've been rused.
You should unplug them.
I look around the rest of the room.
Okay. You discern no additional information. I will give you one for the listeners and the side party. I say side party, main party. Neither of the doors are gold.
We're not in the same place after all.
I never thought we were. That would have been too nice.
I gesture to Skrark. I drop the stealth. I put the potion of greater invisibility away. I gesture to Skrark and say, come join me. And I start investigating the corpse. I'm not going to touch it. I will go round it. I will look at the mask, but I'm not touching anything yet, but I want to study it in detail now that I don't feel like this thing is going to spot me straight away.
Skrark enters.
I'd still ideally like to stay out of its eye line.
Skrark enters as you start examining things. Yeah, you're staying out of its eye line. You're not going nose to nose.
Yeah.
Immediately the speakers click on and you hear a
Oh hello. Shut up! Oh my god, shut up! What have we here? Seriously, what do we have here? I can't quite make it out.
I'm going to jump to the rest of the party. So, going around the team, what have people been preparing? Beginning with Cell, I need to know effects that are extant as you go through your golden room.
So, I've got big teeth.
Can I ask not to do that for the simple reason that you keep clipping the pop filter with your pencils, and in order to be far enough away from the pop filter, you're now too far from the mic.
Okay. Well, you just have to imagine that sound.
It's better. The pencils that you had shoved in your face were just too big. That was the problem.
Okay, so now I've got smaller pencils. Hi, I'm Cell. I am now a beast cannon. Okay, this is painful.
This is like the double A meeting.
I don't know what the
alcoholics are not.
Oh, right, but like, how would that be?
For monster people.
Oh, no, that's true.
I'm Cell. I have a mutagen problem.
I mean, they do. They do. We know that. Cell has big bat wings, can fly, and has dark vision.
Yep.
And is canonically has a terrifying visage, which has some mechanical effects. I can't remember what they are, but I'll have it written down somewhere.
Most likely be a basic fear effect.
Yes, and they have higher hit points than they had before.
they now have 55 hit points because of maths that we did at a different point.
That's fine.
The way that the Beast Morph mutagen works, or the way that the mutagen works, Cell has the Beast Morph version, which is why they can fly, do dark vision, and are scary, and have fangs and claws, is that you swap one stat for another. You get +4 in the one that you're gaining, and you get -2 in the one that you're losing. So since Cell's original charisma is 8 and there's a -1 modifier, their charisma is now 6, so it's a -2 modifier. Their con was 10, it is now 14, so they get +2, which has an immediate effect on their HP and their fort.
Yep.
So rather than being extremely wimpy, they are now only wimpy.
Okay.
Right.
14 is pretty beefy.
On to Azu, prep that you've done.
Yes, Azu has an iron beard again.
The best!
Comfort beard. She has also chugged a potion of bull strength.
Yep.
Which gives her now 21 strength and a +5 modifier to strength checks.
You're now stronger than Zolf.
Yeah.
Why do I let characters prep?
Because we're built around it.
Because you're lawful evil.
In fact, what I love is that 1,000 fans have just gone, you don't. You never let them prep. You run them from one encounter to another with no sleep.
That's a good point, actually. This is the only prep time we've had in this dungeon.
Mm. Yes, it is.
I have also discovered...
And what will probably happen is we'll open the door and it won't be the right place, which is why I'm only going for things that last more than an hour.
Wise.
Yeah,
very wise.
I've also discovered that I had 3 auras that I thought I had to turn on, but it turns out they're always active. So I have an aura of good, which I guess makes me...
It just pings you as good.
Mechanically good. I have aura of courage, which makes me mechanically brave.
Immune to fear.
Yeah.
Someone's like, I'm going to make you magically scared. And you're like, no, my God says, don't care.
It means that Cell goes like, don't be afraid. And you're like, I'm really not.
Immune to fear effects, and all my allies within 10 feet get +4 bonus to any fear spells.
Stop.
And aura of resolve means I'm immune to charm spells and spell-like abilities. And again, allies get +4 things to charm.
Also, technically, your aura's always up, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm mechanically good, brave, and resolute.
Paladins.
Yeah.
Leading us on to the cleric.
I haven't done anything.
Good.
It's all 8-minute things, which if we don't go immediately into a fight, we'll wear off and only have one of them, and the other thing is protect from energy, and we don't know what kind of energy they're going to throw out, so I'm just waiting.
In Lydia Has Fun With Maths, when you add whatever it was that I added, which I've already lost track of, actually, if you're working along at home, the total should be 59 hit points.
So base hit points +16.
I have no idea why.
Okay, so the golden door opens, revealing another glass external corridor like the one that flooded.
Oh no.
Relax.
This one has a plush, though slightly battered, carpet running along the bottom. It has big burnished brass sort of handrails on either side. It's maybe a little smaller than the Travelator one. And it is curving out, away, and down. Okay? From this doorway, you can see immediately that it appears to be circling a very, very large glass dome. Probably about 100 foot wide. You see where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. Specifically, this appears to go in a helix around it, probably to show it off a bit before you get to the main entrance.
Of course.
Additional things to note, which would not have been necessarily apparent to Hamid on the inside, assuming it is the same one, but I mean, how many 100 foot domes can there really be?
A lot, probably.
It is the sea, it's quite big. You can fit quite a lot of 100 foot domes in the sea.
It appears that a significant amount of infrastructure is extending beneath the dome itself into the actual ground.
Oh, so these are like on stilt, they're slightly raised, they're not on the seabed.
So, some of them have been on the seabed, some of them have been raised. This one, the best way I can describe it is, I want you to imagine someone has sunk it so that the building itself is extending into the actual seabed, like it clearly continues underground a bit more.
Oh, okay, sure.
But not like on the seabed, I mean literally underground.
Yeah.
And yeah, the approach is helical around leading towards it. What'd you do?
Right.
I suppose that's where we're going.
I guess so.
I'll check for traps.
Yeah, we should all do that while we walk.
Okay. Everyone give me one perception check.
15
from Cell.
23 from Azu.
23 from Azu.
24
from Zolf. None of you discern anything of import.
Cool.
we go towards the dome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That looks big. Maybe he's in there.
Cell is moving fast. I would say walking and checking, but like...
A brisk walk.
It's clearly...
So I can't feel like spiky for very long, so I kind of, you know...
All right, well, let's run.
All right.
Take the mechanical run action.
You jog. I realise you can't do a perception check and jog, so it's fine. Like, nothing goes off. You proceed in your downward sort of slope, which is really showing off the skybox and the sort of assets that are being used here. You know, a lot of good texture work.
I like to think we're not bothering to look. We're just
no, absolutely,
yeah, absolutely not. So we'll skip past all the cinematics.
Skip cutscene.
You head down this helix all the way down. There is one thing that you would discern just before you're getting to the entrance. Mm. Well, two things, I suppose. The first thing is that you can see large amounts of. I say large amounts. You can see bubbles coming up from the actual seabed around this building that don't appear to be coming from the building necessarily, but are coming from the ground itself.
Is it built on a hydrothermal vent system, so it's all powered by some...
That seems logical. Additionally, you see that at the end of this glass corridor is another bulkhead, but it has a glass sort of porthole built into it so you can see in through that bulkhead.
Okay. Do we get to the entrance of the thing okay?
Nothing stops you if you're going straight up, go straight up. Mm-hmm. For free, looking through the bulkhead, what you see on the other side are a big pair of oak wooden doors, very ornate, with like an ornate handle and so on.
This must be the place.
Let's see. Right.
Check for traps again, just in case, because...
Yep. 15.
Oh, natural 20.
15.
There is a trap on this door.
Oh. It's a...
All right, well, I mean, can you still do that, right?
Big claws, but still technically the same dex, so... fiddling.
It's more pointy.
Better muscle control, presumably.
Arguably gives you finer manipulation as well.
Mm, yeah, so do I need to...
Disable device.
Disable device, yeah. 24.
You are easily able to disable the trap, which was designed to give people a trivial electric shock. Like almost hand buzzer levels of electric shock.
D3, D4 damage or zero damage?
D4 minus 3.
Wow.
So one damage.
One damage.
Well, no, I mean, occasionally you might roll so low that it heals you a little bit. Perks you up.
That's not mechanically intimidating. As we learn from Sasha's daggers.
Yep. It's very true. What I would say is, enough of you have enough tactical knowledge. It's not actually a terrible idea. It's the kind of thing that would trigger, like, reactionary spells and so on to use them up.
Shall we open the door, then?
Let's. Cool. Yeah, you open the bulkhead. There's no ensuing nightmare or anything. You are facing a large wooden door. Actually, no. I've missed one thing. You're facing this large wooden door. Mm. On the other side of the glass, it becomes more apparent. Someone's gone to great effort to inlay an image of Shoeen in the actual woodworking.
What does he look like?
Oh, like a saint.
Right, ignore it.
So, like an old person full of arrows.
He's
or maybe like a really attractive young man full of arrows.
It is a wood. Like
he's attached a plate to the back of his head.
It's a 12-foot werewolf.
No, he's stood there with raised hands, and you notice that the adoring throngs at his feet are not only adoring, but somehow the woodworker has managed to etch in that they look dim. Everyone just looks dumb compared to him.
I glance at it and then immediately discard it as not useful information.
No use whatsoever.
Azu doesn't notice.
I wanted to use it to be able to recognise him, but that's not going to be worth it. Useful.
I mean, chipping this thing down here must have been a nightmare.
Oh, I guess we opened the
door. Open the door.
You open the door, unfortunately, to another bulkhead door.
Oh no, that's a relief actually, because Hamid didn't see wooden doors. He saw a bulkhead door. So if it had been a wooden door, like, I was just worried we were going to go into something else. So this is good.
Yeah. Check for traps again.
It's fine.
Yep.
Natural 20.
14.
There is nothing. There's not even the beginning of an indicator of a trap.
Right, shall we?
Yeah.
Third time. Open the door.
Okay. I'm going to jump back to Hamid, because it's time for everyone to find out how mushy time got while Hamid was lost. So, as you look around, you see the corpses of the party underneath the table. No, I'm kidding. Okay, yeah, so there was the...
Oh, hello, what do we have here, then?
I'm not responding, I'm just examining this corpse.
Oh, come on. Go on, look at my... Look, turn around. Go... Shut up, leave me alone! Turn around, go on, hello. There's a seat for you, look. Ooh.
I take out a handkerchief.
Yep.
And I very carefully lay it without, again, try not to touch the corpse, but I lay it on top of the corpse's head so it hangs down over the corpse's eyes.
So anyway, a great and noble adventurer, you have bested my quest so far.
Will I'm ignoring
you join
this.
Me
tell me more about
for
the corpse.
Sukkor?
There's not really much more to tell. It still seems to have a dagger in a sheath. It appears to have another loop, like leather thong, most likely for something heavier, maybe a mace, something like that. They appear to still be wearing their clothes, like I said. There's not really much more to discern.
You said it was clerical robes. Are there any symbols on it?
Oh, yeah, good point. There is symbols of Poseidon upon them.
Oh, we are underwater.
Yeah, but we still all ominously looked at Ben.
Never heard of him.
I will try and extract the dagger from where it's sheathed.
You do so trivially. You don't even need to make a save. Yeah, the speech is still going on. It is actually in English rather than Japanese this time. And it's like,
oh, there is a seat set for you, but please sit and await your friends that we might begin the proper game.
I'm going to reach back to the handkerchief and use it as a barrier and very gently try and take the mask off.
The mask comes off, trivially revealing a desiccated corpse. It has no eyes, it has no tongue, they're already gone. The mouth is agape. They are just the dried husk of what was once a person.
But there isn't a camera there.
No. Aww. I mean, if there was, it'd be in the mouth, because that would weird people out more, but no.
I was thinking the mouth is a gate, and there is a lens
No, there is.
Skrark has presumably started to come around as well.
Oh, yeah, Skrark's had the time to come around.
I am going to explore the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit in one or touch one until I've given them a very thorough look.
One is built for a dwarf, one is built for basically an Azu, and one is built for a cell. It looks like the chairs are removable, but made of metal. They are currently bolted to the floor.
I bet they tip forward into a hole.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm guessing too. I'm going to just explore the rest of the room, check out the two doors.
As you're examining the table, the speaker continues, you know,
oh yes, please do. Do take the time to look. Nothing up my sleeves.
The second that you start moving to the other ends of the room, it's like,
no, come. The table's there. Sit. That we. The table's there. Sit at the table. Sit at the table. Sit at the table.
Is there any useful paperwork in the study?
Stop. Just leave it. What are you doing? Sit at the table.
Having a quick look, give me a perception check to start searching it whilst the voice is growing increasingly irate at you ignoring
17.
It. The paperwork actually does seem relevant. It is whoever this person is seems to be doing a lot of stuff. I mean, it's showing. They seem to have done a lot of work with fluidics, that kind of thing, liquid dynamics, things like that.
I'm going to skim it and then stuff it in the bag of holding for later.
It clearly pertains to the simulacrum. Like patently, obviously.
Forgot about that.
pertains to simulacrum. In fact, you see some.
And as someone who has studied a lot of writing about simulacrum,
you can see that a lot of the plans are to make use of the power source that was being trialed elsewhere. But you notice that the way it's
so
built.
So if it's hydraulics, it's controlling the movement of the simulacrum, presumably.
So here's the thing: what you are noticing here is you don't have. Things will trigger before you have 10 hours to check this stuff. What you are seeing is a large amount of plans to do with liquids and fluids and so on. Although, yes, a lot of it is to do with the mechanics of movement and so on, there's a lot more going on that you literally don't understand. You notice that the way it's built is it basically has a insert power source here bit, but it doesn't have plans for the power source itself. Additionally, you see that a lot of it is to do with the layout of sort of humanoids. If anything, it's closer to a circulatory and nervous system than it is to do with hydraulics. It looks a lot more organic than you're used to for these kinds of machines.
It looks like veins.
I mean, all of the fluidics appears to be blue.
Mm. Oh boy.
And I think I will complex. Take a break.
Well,
there.
I get out my red string.
The secret to visibly firmer, summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dull, dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Rich yet never greasy, Andaria Algae Body Oil is formulated with sustainably sourced seaweed to help replenish the skin's moisture barrier and seven nourishing active botanical oils for results you can see and feel all over. The best part? Its signature scent. A blend of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. This all-natural scent is unforgettable. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And welcome back. So, as you've begun looking, the voice is growing increasingly irate. It's like, look, just sit at the table. I have gone to great lengths. Okay,
can I see the speaker?
It's coming from everywhere. It's coming from speakers, plural, as in like literal speakers built into the room.
I fire an acid blast at one of them.
Okay, give me an attack roll, please.
22.
Yeah, you hit and destroy it in a single hit. The voice is slightly quieter, yeah. I guess.
If you do that one more time, there will be repercussions, young man. Okay? Oh my God! Shut up! I will flood this place, and I have no problem doing that. All right? Don't make me flood it.
I sigh theatrically and loudly, and go back to picking up pieces.
You
of paperwork.
Minion! Make him sit at the table.
Skrark goes over and gives a extremely rude kobold gesture that doesn't translate.
I laugh a lot. I'm like,
I mean, they've only got three claws, so what they do is they dip the middle claw and raise up the outer two, and he's just gesturing at the room in general.
Good work, Skrark.
Oh, very well. So, last chance. You can either play the game, or I can just flood the entire room.
I say out loud, so you can hear me if I talk, can you?
Little louder, please.
So you can hear me if I talk, can you?
Oh, yes, I know all, see all, and hear all.
I mean, we can't start the game until everyone gets here, so I'm just making busy in the meantime. Don't mind me, be with you in a little while, yeah?
Make busy over at the table.
In a minute.
Now! I want you to do it now!
No, we're not ready yet.
The game is ready, you will sit down right now. Do it! Sit down!
There's no other players here.
Yes, there is! There's one already there!
No, that's a corpse.
A corpse can play the game?
I mean, that's not a very good game if a corpse can
play
it.
How do you know you've not played it? You've got to sit at the table.
No, it's a terrible game.
You're a terrible game! Sit at the table!
I don't play any games with corpses.
Sit at the table!
But look, just... I just hold up a finger and then go back.
You hear an ominous groaning from underneath the floor of machinery moving and a very ominous gurgle.
Neck the water breathing.
Last!
I don't have one.
Last warning! You will do what you are told and you will set me that table!
I stuff the last bit of paperwork into my bag of holding. Like, just grab anything else that I can see even if I don't have time, chance to skim it.
Sure.
And I walk back towards the table.
Mm-hmm.
Around away from the clearly halfling seat, and I look at all the seats in turn. I go, sorry, could you just,
a bit unclear about this game.
Not there.
This one.
This one.
No, you meant this one. You don't seem to want to point. You really have need to have a better way of indicating which chair is mine.
Everyone else. You can discern faint sounds from the other side of the bulkhead.
Oh no, your little friend!
It sounds like...
little friend!
Roars, I mean. Anger, some kind of, like, uproar or something on the other side of the door.
We should go
door.
Through.
Right,
that sounds,
let's go.
That sounds right, yeah.
You open the bulkhead door?
Yep.
Yeah.
You open the bulkhead door.
Oh!
Between the kitchen segment and the bedroom segment, and you see Hamid... Could you describe Hamid's expression before I describe the voice?
Shit eating.
Slightly frustrated, but yeah, a bit of a grin of this is silly, but I'm winning.
Okay. Meanwhile, the voice is like,
it's the small chair. You're a small person.
This chair's
quite
it's the
small. Small.
It's the smallest.
This one's
you
clearly
can
quite
shut up, right?
Big, but this one's quite small.
Stop talking. Oh, fine. Fine. Oh my god. Fine.
The corpse explodes. It literally just explodes into a fiery mess, and there is nothing in the chair anymore. It literally just bursts into flame and explodes everywhere.
But the chair...
untouched and completely fine everywhere.
Look what you made me do! Now sit in the chair!
The empty one.
Sit in the small chair!
You just made another chair empty. Now there's even more choices.
The fluid on either side of the pipe organ, the green one, is beginning to boil.
Sit into the chair! Sit in it!
Hamid?
Oh, hi, guys. Oh, I'm so glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you too.
What on earth is going on?
Sel flies over and gives Hamid a hug.
Hello, everybody! Are you all right?
I resist the fear effect and hug you back. I had to roll for it.
Voice kind of takes...
noble! You ruined it! You ruined it!
Apparently we're supposed to play a game. I think it might be musical chairs.
What's musical chairs?
So
it's a game
hero.
Where we sit in the chair when the noise stops.
Everybody sit at your chair.
Shut up. We've already heard you losing your rag at Hamid. How do you think you're going to deal with four of us if you can't control one halfling?
You will all sit down or I will flood this room.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
We've already dealt with flooded rooms.
This'll flood more.
You can't really flood
more than
completely.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
You've been flooded with acid.
Oh, that doesn't matter. I don't know about that.
Sel, did you see all of this?
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as there's a pause, there's a flapping away, a knowledge engineering check of the looking at the
Give me a knowledge engineering.
Do I want alchemy?
I hug Azu and Zolf.
Absolutely, yes. Literally, I was about to say whilst I was doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do an alchemy check, if that's...
Yeah, it's knowledge alchemy.
Hug back. It's good to see you.
Okay.
You too.
I need a knowledge engineering
a
knowledge alchemy
okay,
separately,
so
please.
23 on alchemy.
Yep.
17 on engineering.
Okay, 17 on engineering. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly complex... manufacturing setup. You can see that there appears to be two outlets, one outlet for within this room and one outlet for somewhere else. You know that it's slightly less efficient than it could be, but it's deliberately built in such a way that it will look incredibly flashy because you literally will play it like an organ and potions come out.
That.
And additionally, you realise that there's a heck of a lot more going on here than this just being a manufacturing thing for potions. There is a lot going on here that you do not understand.
Whoa.
You have never seen before and couldn't even begin to guess. You would have to deconstruct it.
Where is the outlet for within the room?
Right beside the keyboard.
Sel flies over and blocks it with... What do I have that what would be in a dungeoneering kit? Tent?
You shove an entire tent?
The tarpaulin, it's waterproof, right?
Sure.
I fill the outlet. I mean, how big is it?
Tiny. It's intended to generate single-use potions.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it might be gas.
No, it's not gallons. The internal one is to do, here's a potion.
Okay, well, I block it anyway.
I mean, it's trivial to do. Trivial to block.
Cool.
You can use a cork.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, block it with I don't have a cork.
You have 100 bottles.
Oh, yes. Some of them are even empty.
You quite literally have in this world, you have an infinite amount of cork.
Okay, cool. I reach into my infinite reserves of cork and block the outlet. Can I see anywhere where pressure might be building up?
Yes. The two cylinders on either side are, at this point, almost boiling over. The voice has suddenly gone quiet, but the cylinders on either side are bordering on frothing at the top.
Oh, are they covered or not?
Yes, they are covered and they have large tubes coming out on top and going into this enormous pipe organ thing.
I shout, Scrark, get back on the walkway.
Oh, Scrark's here.
Scrark!
Hey, little buddy! Cell flies over and tries to give them a hug. Hey, little buddy!
And Scrark tries to attack.
Ah! Aww.
What's your AC currently?
19.
He takes a swipe at you going, ah, die! Thing.
No, you little buddy! No, what?
Scrock! No, that's Cell!
What did he do to you?
No. I'm this. It makes me stronger.
What's showing up to?
Apparently nothing, but the vials look like, the cylinders look like they're about to boil over.
Right, no show in here. Should we just leave this room before he drowns us in acid? Doesn't look like there's anything important.
Yeah, which way on? The other door?
The speakers burst to life.
Yeah.
You will sit and you will play.
Nah.
The game.
Nah. Should we go next door?
Cell goes over to the other outlet, the pipe that's going out of the room, from the thing, and smashes that.
Azu.
Yeah?
I get to do this. You hear her immediately behind you.
I turn around.
And then another one.
I can... Can you hear... I can hear
the rest of you can hear more drips.
Yeah, he's trying to flood the
in
room.
Random
let's
locations.
Get out of
yes.
Let's... Everyone, give me a perception check.
16.
18.
16.
27.
All of you notice that large drops are coming from the very, very top, from the dome, not from the glass. Like you can see that things seem to be dropping from the actual support struts, and you notice there might be like a nozzle there or something. What's dropping is not water. And when it lands, it does not splash. It goes and drops. Static, does not bounce, does not do anything. It just drops dead. The droplets are about the size of my fist, and they appear to be luminous green, the same as the cylinders there.
Mm-hmm. I go and open the other door.
I sprint to the other door.
That's fine. Everyone please roll me initiative.
No.
I got a natural one.
Oh, 16.
22.
Oh, I also rolled a natural one, but natural ones for initiative have no effect.
Yay! Using
except
them up.
One. Yes. Except being a one.
So I got five.
So.
9.
All of the blobs that are currently just whoop, and land static on the floor begin moving at once, homing in towards the nearest people. Mm-hmm. Zolf and Hamid are obviously by the door already. The two blobs begin moving to you, but you can see all of them are moving, and there are more mid drop, I suppose we would say. As it stands, Zolf, you're at top of initiative order.
Get over to the corridor or bottleneck them. Start opening the door.
Okay, cool. Give me a reflex save.
9.
Ooh! You take 16 damage from the electrified door.
Oh.
It's heavily electrified. As in, like, the actual bulkhead itself, the second that you make contact.
Did it still move?
No. It also appears to be completely locked.
Okay, so he's automatically locked both doors, I imagine.
Not gonna work!
Azu, you are up.
I charge the goo that is next to Zolf.
Yeah, the goos, to be specific, the goos were all dropped in such a way that none of them were within 5 feet of all of you. You had some free movement at first. You'll need to give me an attack roll.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's a 16.
16? That's a fine hit on a literally tiny little ooze.
Well, I hit it.
Yeah.
Roll damage. Damage.
Oh!
As traditionally occurs.
You keep looking at me to tell you what happens next, but it's all you.
So
it's
D10.
All you,
Helen. So your feet... No, it's D12 because you're an axe. And remember, your feet lets you roll 2d12.
Yeah,
it's
2d12 plus 6, please.
It's going to be plus 8 because of your increased strength.
That's 26 damage on the little ooze.
That is definitely...
26?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to check... I need to check if anything happens when it explodes into tiny droplets, but give me a second.
And then cleave activates.
Yeah.
Yes! Yes, it does!
Cool, all is grand. You basically hit it. However, as you're going, you realise it'll be easier just to hit it with the flat of the blade because it's a blob. you do, and it just goes... dead.
Okay.
Cleave attack.
You have another attack?
Yes, I do that.
That's a 20.
Natural 20.
Roll to confirm.
Roll to confirm the critical. You did not confirm the critical.
A natural 20 followed by a natural 1, but that's still a hit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
D12. The natural 1 has no effect.
Yeah.
9 damage to that goo.
Good job. We should sell. Skark, come over here.
In which case, then, the blob's turn.
Oh, no.
They each have... I'm going to delegate here because the table's big. They each have a 10-foot move speed, and they all move, ideally, to occupy the same square as the nearest person. They don't care who it is, and they try to literally occupy the same square.
Oh, no.
Additionally, could you please drop 6 more miniatures onto the map, please? Drop a dice on the table, and where it falls, drop one.
Hold on.
So, for listeners, they have been scattered randomly throughout the room, mostly at the edges by Fluke, which is fine, but they have all just dropped down from the ceiling with the same and just landed dead. That is all of Zablob's turns. It is now Hamid's go.
I back away from the nearest blob.
Mm-hmm. I am assuming everyone is on the ground floor, unless they tell me otherwise, by the way.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
At the moment, yes.
I am going to cast Magic Missile.
Good.
I get 4 missiles. The first missile goes at the closest... blob. 4 damage.
It hit, but not dead.
Second one,
I don't know why I lost all grammar.
Second one, 3 damage. Same blob.
So 4 plus 3?
Yep.
Hit and am dead is gone.
The next 2 missiles,
yep,
they both hit one of the goos that is standing next to Cell.
Okay.
That's very sweet.
That is 5 plus 2, another 7 damage.
He's dead.
Thanks, buddy.
That's my turn.
Okay.
I moved to safety, took out 2 losers with magic missiles.
Yeah.
The system works.
Work.
And Sal, you are up.
So if I fly upwards from a space, does that trigger an attack of opportunity?
Yes, it
okay,
is a movement.
So I shoot point blank range. The nearest one, I have a bonus of 8 on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 19.
Hit.
That is 7 damage.
Mm-hmm. He's dead.
Then that one. So that is...
still an nearest.
12.
He's hit.
Oh, 6 plus 9, 15 damage.
He's dead.
Then I attack the other one that's nearest to me. Oh, that's only 3, and plus 3 is 6.
He's not hit!
It's not hit, cool. So I then fly upwards.
Yes. So, can we please put a dice or something underneath to indicate height?
D4, because points up.
Nice.
Yeah! The system works.
Yeah.
So you fly upwards, your full move speed?
Yeah, my full move speed is 30.
So you want
I have
out.
30 fly.
Yeah.
So I fly 10 foot up.
Cool, then you can move.
And 20 foot towards, so I'm near Scrap, but like, I would say not near that blob.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. In which case then, Zolf, you are up.
Cool. I move forward to place myself between goo and people and cast
Sensible.
Bless.
Yep.
Myself and every ally within 50 foot get plus 1 to attack rolls and saves.
Good. The system works.
Nice.
Anything else that you would like to do?
I've done everything I can do. Clarification. Plus 1 morale bonus to attack rolls and on saving throws against fear effects. But you will have plus 1 to your attack.
Sure.
Oh, cool.
Azu, you are up.
I want to charge and cleave this one.
For flavour reasons, by the way, although, yes, there are tables and there are chairs and things in the kitchen and the bedroom and blah, 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 I am just not bothering mechanically because there is enough going on.
Yeah.
Technically, I should probably just make all of them difficult terrain, but there's like 15 different pieces on the board and it's going to get worse, so let's just leave it at that.
Yep.
Okay. Remember, this is your choice.
Go for it, Hazu.
I want to hit that.
Yep. You got to roll the attack. It's extremely hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like 24.
It's
yeah.
really, really quite hit. I don't know what to say.
2d12 plus 8 damage.
2d12 plus 8?
Yeah.
It explodes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have 7 hit points.
Yes. Okay.
If you hit one with any attack, it instantly dies.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they have less hit points than
your
minimum damage.
All you have to do is hit them and they die. For you specifically.
Thank you. Some of us are very capable of making less damage.
Yes.
At which point, first things first, all blobs that are on the ground move 10 feet to try and occupy the same square as the nearest person.
One is able to do that for Skrark.
Okay.
Skrark didn't act.
Correct, Skrark did not.
Oh no.
Too much was going on.
He's
little
scared.
Guy just didn't know what to do.
Oh no!
Alex
he
forgot
and
is recovering.
Scared.
No! I want Skrark to get a little bit
of help. I told him to run over to us.
In which case then, 6 more blobs drop.
Oh, that's dropped right next to me. That's unhelpful. No. Oh, wait, when they drop, do they evoke attack of opportunity because they're moving into a threatened square?
I'm going to say no for two reasons. One, because it's too quick. Because they're not moving, they are
and
plummeting.
Two, because you don't want your things to die.
And two, because, well, no, actually, genuinely, I'm okay with them dying because of how it works, but that's less of a thing than... I'd rather you... You'll see. At which point...
What happens to the one that occupied Skrark's space?
I hope he doesn't get blobbed.
It immediately starts trying to blob it.
No!
However, it's tiny. It just seems to be like... climbing up and over and on him. It appears to have no immediate effect.
Oh, no.
At which point, I will then go to... Hamid, you are up.
I back off again and cast Magic Missile again.
Okay.
The first two missiles aim at the blob that is on Skrark.
Yep.
Good.
Oh, yeah, unerring. Good.
5 damage total.
Is alive.
The third one also aims at that. Another 3.
Is dead.
8 damage total.
Yay.
I have one final missile. It will shoot the next one that is close to Skrark.
Yep, that's fine.
It's not going to kill it, regardless. 2 damage to that one.
Can you put a little 2 next to it?
It's not going to matter because everything else kills it.
Yeah,
kills
it
in one shot.
It's immediately going to get popped.
I don't necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Skrark, stay away from them. Hit them with the spear.
Sel? You are up.
Going to shoot. I've only got 2 bolts left in my crossbow. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shoot the one that's on the ground close to Skrark.
Mm-hmm.
19.
Hit.
And 3.
Oh.
Is alive! Is now king of the blobs.
Okay, I shoot it again.
All the blobs begin bowing non-mechanically at their king.
21.
Is hit.
Okay, you mechanically have
is
to
dead.
Okay, cool. So, reloading my shotgun, it says, is a full action.
I'm not
full round action.
I'm going to draw
round.
Attention
full
to
round.
That.
So
Freudian
I can't
slip.
Shoot and reload.
No.
So, in which case, I'm going to fly.
So, you're flying towards the stair ladder that Hamid initially went down. In which case, then, Skrark's action goes off. Can you please run him the run action towards the ladder that Hamid initially climbed down?
Yeah, so he can get to there, basically. Yeah.
At which point, then... a new challenger enters. Specifically, the fluids on either side of the cylinders suddenly, from frothing, immediately drain. I mean, almost instantaneously drain.
Oh, it's going to be
all
too big
into the pipe organ.
Oh, no.
At which point, something just begins to extricate itself from the pipe organ, immediately where Cell was. You see that the thing that looks like it was designed to be looming down on people is not only sort of a design, it's an actual thing that is pulling itself out from the pipe organ.
Listeners,
like a labyrinth!
Alex is miming and it's terrifying.
You realise that not only is it built into the pipe organ, it is the actual pipe organ.
No!
And bits of it start detaching itself and pulling itself.
You already did this in episode 48.
I know, start pulling itself out.
I'm still terrified!
It seems to be equal parts wood, metal. It has large amounts of, like, fluid chambers built into it. You see atop it, it has a head that sort of clunks into place, and you see that it has large, glowing red eyes, and what appears to be...
Hit it in the eyes!
...an entirely glass orb with a brain inside.
I have been thinking of and are developing a theory,
yes,
which that Showin has Mr. Sealinged himself,
yeah,
is the dominant brain, and who he keeps arguing with is the other brains in his network.
Yes, because they were bubbling when he was angry.
Before any more fan theories,
yeah,
we will end the episode there.
All right.
All is well. The room is full of enemies.
It's really, really good that we're about to record another one, because it would be such a pain to recreate this battlefield.
So with that in mind, bye.
Bye.
Everyone.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.